Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the living God, from whom all blessings flow. There is no God like our God. And what God has done for us once again today, God has moved me to another level. I must trust in Him like never before. Trusting in God is a way of assuring me. Now, I don't know about you, but it assures me that God will take care of me. I'm a living witness. And I want you to understand, because I'm in love with Pastor, with Kent Copeland, I'm in love with the fivefold ministry. I'm in love with those of you who are out there just listen. But I want you to know something. Our God is still available for all of us. And tonight I want you to hear what Kent Copeland talking about. Take notes. Get your Bible. Before we go, let's pray. Father, we call you tonight to bless us and to keep us and to walk with us and to show us your way. Not our way, but your way. Let us be more attentive, more of obedience, more understanding. And those who said it there, we pray for them, Father. But we know we headed to a place called there. And there you will meet us. There you will show us the way to go. And Holy Spirit, I ask you tonight to teach me and to show me. Let there be some quietness, some understanding, and knowing what you're doing for me. In Jesus' name, God bless you. See you on the other side.
Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Was amazing to me. A couple of times now since this meeting has been going on, God has spoken once that I recall by a prophecy, and other times by tongue and interpretation of tongue, and said that we were going to see a time of outpouring of particularly in the area of the gift of working of miracles, where there would be replacement of limbs and amputated members of the bodies and so forth. Well, there was a person had received a word from the Lord in prayer, praying for me, and had written it down, passed it on to the staff, and then it was given to me. And somehow or other, I don't know how God kept me from seeing it, but it just got by me. I just didn't see it or something. And yesterday, I got out my things to study, and there that thing was. And I thought, well, I wonder how come I hadn't read that before now. And I picked it up and read it, and praise God, it was word for word. Now, this was given, see, before the meeting ever started. And I just hadn't seen it. And it was word for word, the same thing that the Lord had said twice in this meeting. It came through somebody else. Praise God. Now, ain't that great? Well, now I could see why the Lord just kept it aside for me there. And then after it had been done, it was such an outstanding thing from the Lord that now I have that word from the Lord as a direct confirmation of what is being said. Well, the word says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. Praise God. So as far as I'm concerned, that's an established affair. Now then, let's read once again from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, because we're going to talk about this in the light and use that as an illustration of what I just said. Yesterday we began talking about the gift of the word of wisdom. So let's read from verse 6. We've studied down through verse 5. Let's read from verse 6, or actually verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these work one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. What we talked about is given by the Spirit the word of God's wisdom. Now, God gives his wisdom to us in more than one way. The Bible said Jesus is made unto us wisdom. Well, what that is saying is this: Jesus has provided the believer with the wisdom of God. That wisdom is available to us. And in our being personally led by the Holy Spirit in day-by-day affairs, we have access to the wisdom of God in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. See? But now this is a little different affair. We operate in the wisdom of God. We have access to leadership of the wisdom of God and so forth. But what God is talking about here is an injection of a word of his wisdom into our affairs in a specific occasion or time, and doing it by utterance. This is more than just a personal thing. This is something that is given out openly in a congregational affair, so forth, primarily. Now, it may be used in an individual manner. For instance, Agabus came up to Paul. Now, there's something here that's so important. I don't want you to miss any of this. We don't have time to go over that to that scripture and study through it, but you look it up in the book of Acts and read through it. I want you to see something in this. Agabus came up to Paul. Agabus operated as a prophet. Bible said so. Came up to Paul and took Paul's belt and wrapped it around him, and he said the man that owns this belt will be bound by the Jews at Jerusalem. Well, now you see, that was a word of God's wisdom. Neither the people nor Paul took it in the proper manner. Now listen to me carefully. That was a word of God's wisdom. And everybody just grabbed it and mentally assumed certain things. Now the people immediately assumed that God was saying, don't go to Jerusalem. Anyway, said God. Paul immediately assumed certain things, but he said, no, I'm going anyway. He went on over there, but now you remember, when he got to Jerusalem, he went to the temple, and he made some Jewish religious sacrifices. Why did he do that? Because the people, actually Christians, the Jewish Christians, came to him and said, there's a lot of stories out about you. And we believe it would be good if you'd go down there and do these certain things so everybody wouldn't think ugly about you. And he went down there and did that. All right. He was bound, not by the Jews in chains, he was bound in chains by the Romans. Now listen carefully. If he had listened to God and judged what God said spiritually instead of mentally, he would have realized that God said it was the Jews that would bind him, and they did. They bound him with religious tradition. He went right in there in that temple, and he did things that he had just come out of the field actually preaching again. He went in there and made a purification sacrifice when he'd already preached that it was the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ that purified and cleansed from all sin. And he'd gotten in there and done the same thing, and you know what it did? It wasn't the binding of the chains that made trouble. Of course, strife got in there when he disobeyed God. But what God was trying to show him was that by the Jews binding him, the Jews, it was not the Jewish religion people that bound him. It was the Christians that were still operating as Jews. They bound and destroyed the man's teaching ability in their midst. He went for their traditions. That's exactly the reason God sent him up there, was to get rid of that Jewish tradition and that thing, and have these people learn what he had taught this man by revelation. Can you see that? Actually, you've got to discern it spiritually yourself, or you will never see what happened in that situation with Agabus. Well, now here's Agabus. You see, he's speaking from God. If he'd been speaking in the natural, he'd have said, the Romans are going to bind you, because they're the ones that put chains on him, see. But it wasn't the Romans that bound him. It was the Jews that bound his ministry through religious tradition. And God's wisdom said that to it. Do it. He said the Jews will bind you. You'll be bound by the Jews. All right. God injected a word of his wisdom in this situation. You see, Paul had the knowledge. He had the knowledge in both areas. He had the knowledge concerning Jewish tradition. He also had knowledge, revelation knowledge, that God had given him concerning these things, such as sacrifices and so forth. And God spoke and gave forth a word of his wisdom into the thing, and gave Paul the opportunity to find out how to use the knowledge he had. But he didn't listen. He mentally discerned what God had said. When the Bible says God's word has to be spiritually discerned, he never did stop and go pray about it and say, well, now, that prophet said something to me here. Now, I'm going to listen to God here a little bit and discern what he said. I need to know what's going on. Because, see, God was already dealing with him in the very thing that prophet spoke to him about. God was dealing with him in that area. Now, you notice, as we begin to move in these things, God gives forth these utterances as confirmation of what the Holy Spirit is already doing. Now, you've seen people move into a thing like this and try to minister certain things that are absolutely foolishness, and call it the word of wisdom. Like somebody come up and say, God just spoke to me and and told me to give you the gift of cleansing doorknobs. Like Brother Hagin said, there ain't nothing in the world but laying empty hands on empty heads. When you do, and I haven't found any way to improve on that. That's just exactly what it is. One lady was set in the church to rock, and she'd sit right down in the front of the congregation there and rock. I think he said that's the most irritating thing I ever saw in my life. She got to where everybody in the congregation sitting there watching her rock. And come to find out, somebody that's supposed to be a prophet laid hands on her and gave her the gift of rocking. And Brother Hagin said, well, what good is that gift? What's it supposed to do for her? She said, well, she didn't tell him this, told the pastor this. Said, well, if you want to know when whoever's preaching or whoever's singing is in the spirit, just look down there at me. Because if I'm rocking, they're in the spirit. But if I'm not, they're not. Brother Hagin said, well, now, wasn't that nice of the Lord to put that in there for us where we'd have a barometer. We'd know where his things was in. Well, now you know good and well that's just borders on the area of being stupid. People to get into things like it. You don't find the gift of rocking in the New Testament. Or casting out permanent waves. And like he said, he told that old girl, he said, I'll tell you what, if you get the gift of casting them in, you'll have something. He said, you can make a living off that. No, God's wisdom is for a use. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. And he injects these things into our midst or to us in a supernatural manner, in this manner here, in order to confirm what he's already leading us in, what we're doing in these times and areas, and gives us an insight into his future plans. That's what the word of wisdom had to do with his future plans and the plan of redemption and how to move correctly and use the knowledge and the confirmations that he's already given. Praise God. Amen. Do you understand now what the thing that God is doing? Now, God is not ever going to come along and inject so much information to you in such a startling way that you drop your faith. He won't do that. He can't do that. Get you into a place to where you would just be so highly startled by something supernatural that you would drop your faith and just be blasted into believing something. God won't operate that way. God just absolutely does not operate. It's impossible to please him without faith. And he'll go with you just as far as he can go. Now, some people don't want to do anything until they have some supernatural move of God as a confirmation of it. What you're fixing to do is just cut off the supernatural confirming nature of God in your life. You're going to have to get it through the Word of God if you're pushing that in order just to have something to bolster your believer. You know what I mean? That some people, that's the only reason they go to churches. Maybe somebody will have a word for me. Maybe somebody will have a word for me. Or call somebody on the phone and say, what color tie should I ought to wear to church tonight? Prophesy and see what I ought to wear to church. That kind of thing has slowed down the spiritual activity of people for years. And it's time to weed that stuff out of our midst. Foolish. What we are interested in is the things that God will introduce to us in our midst that will give us the leadership, the confirmations, insight into the plans of God that will help us in our ministries to the people to make men free of bondage and sickness and disease and the overlord of Satan over men. Praise God. That's what these things are for, that men profit from. Amen. Well, the things that God is interested in, the prophets that God is interested in, is to break you loose from the curses and the bondages that Satan put. Every one of these gifts, that's what they're for. Every single one of them. That's what their nature of them is deliverance. Now, let's talk about the word of knowledge. Actually, the word of knowledge covers an area that we would describe as something that has to do with the present or the past. Now, knowledge concerns the present or the past. Wisdom concerns from the present, including the future. Now, for instance, I minister in the word of knowledge quite a lot. Particularly in the last year. It's been in my ministry ever since I was called to the ministry, but it's only developed into a high degree in about the last 12 to 18 months. God will reveal to me certain things that are happening in the congregation. Well, see, that's right now. That's right now. And I'll know, all of a sudden I'll know that God just healed somebody of one thing or another. And I'll call that thing out and say what it is. But now there are certain incidences, and particularly I'm thinking about once in the last meeting, there was a man sitting down here on the front row, and I didn't know who it was. I just started walking across the platform over here, and I got just about here, and the voice of the Lord came to me, down in here. Right down in here, I heard his voice just as plain as you're hearing my voice. I heard it right in there. And he said this. He said, there is a man here who hurt his knee on a post. And that's all he said. And I thought, oh, now, what am I going to do with that? And so I just held on to it for a second, and I turned around this way and started back over this across this part of the platform. It was it was so unusual for me that it made a mark on my mind. Most of these things, most of the time, I don't remember them any length of time because it operates in my spirit and operates in my mind where my memory operates. But this particular incident is very indelible in my thinking because it was unusual to me. And I turned around and started back over here, and the Lord spoke again and said, there's a man in the congregation that hurt his knee on a post. So I stopped right there just for a second, and in my spirit, inside me, I didn't say it out loud. I said, well, so what? He said, so I'm healing, and that's what. I said, that's what you want me to say? He said, say it. So I said it. Just like that, I just said it. And you know what the devil said to me? You know how I can tell the difference between the two? One of them up here and the other down here. This one up here in your head never did say anything encouraging to you, never did tell you, go on, you're going to make it. Go on. Tie into it a little harder. You're going to make it. Praise God, you got to make. It always says it might not work this time. There's something wrong with it now. Always a discouraging word. That's the way the devil talks. And God never discouraged anybody in all of his lengthy career as the God of heaven and earth. The word says his promises and his word is yea and amen. All things are possible to the believer. That's God's attitude. And stopped and said, well, now, you know there ain't nobody out there ever got the knee hurt on a post. And you just stood there and said that like a dummy. And you know good and well ain't nobody out there ever got the knee hurt on a post. You really ripped it this time. And I've learned since then that that's not even my responsibility. That's not my responsibility. All God said me to do was say it. I didn't have to hurt the man with the post. I didn't have to be responsible for him being there. And I finally learned to roll that care over on the Lord and have some confidence in what's going on the inside of me. And I just shook it off and went on. I said, well, praise God. I know what I know. And the man got up and come right up here on this platform and testified of the fact that before he was saved, he had injured his knee on a post. There's a bunch of you here heard it. He had injured his knee on a post. I had never talked to that man personally in my life. Now, I'd seen him in some of these meetings and shook hands with him a couple of times. And somebody had told me what his name was, but he was from the state of Florida. Huh? Bill Davidson, Tampa, Florida. And I had seen him down there with Israel and several of the others from that part of the country. But I never had visited with him, didn't know anything about him. Good-looking young man. And he said that he had done this. He got caught red-handed burglarizing a house, and he was running from the law and tried to jump the fence and like a broke his leg on that pole. Now, since then, you see, this man had been born again and filled with the Spirit of God. And as far as I know, he surrendered to the ministry. If he hadn't, he ought to. And this man turned on to God, and he told me, he said, you know, that bad knee was the only thing that was hanging on me from that old life. And he said, I told God, that ought to be gone. That ought to be taken out of there. He said, that knee still hurt and bothered me. And he said, that is the only part of that old man that is left. And he said, I only got rid of. And he said, I know one got that out of my mouth. And you stood right there and said, there's a man here that got his knee hurt on a post. And he said, I like to tore that seat down. Well, it would shake you a little bit, wouldn't it? But you see, the man was sitting there praying about that situation. And God just turned around and answered him just like that. Well, then no wonder he had the faith to receive healing for his knee. But now, see, if the man had been sitting there thinking, I had that old boy saying it couldn't be so, there's no way in the world he'd have ever gotten any kind of a reaction from God sitting there criticizing. He's already believed in God and had already made the statement that he knew that God had healing for him for that knee. So, see, he was already following the leadership of the Lord. But the thing culminated in a very exciting way. Praise God. Now, can you see how the word of knowledge operated in order to help a man? That was a word of God's knowledge. I didn't have any way of knowing that, but God did. Knew right when it happened. In fact, you see, God was right there and saw the whole thing when the boy busted out of that house. He would have stopped him if he could. But the man had his mind made up at that point, evidently, to go to hell. But the Spirit of God was able to turn him, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered all that stuff, and now no more does he have a bad knee. Praise God. Isn't that exciting? That God knows right where you are and will communicate with you that way. Well, now you see, there is this. I've had God to deal with me like that when I'd pray over something, and just on the inside of me, just the Spirit of God would let me know right then. Let me know. I'm talking about my own self. There'd be something I'd pray about. I stood up in church service one morning. I'd been having some pain in my body, and I'd prayed about it about 2 days before, and I stood up in church service one Sunday morning, about halfway back. We were in church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that Christian, the Sheridan Christian Assembly. And I was standing about halfway back there, and everybody, right at the beginning of the service, people stood up and began to sing. And I just stood up there and started singing. And just as I lift my hands up like that, right in here, right on the inside of me. In fact, I wasn't even thinking about that right at the moment. Right here on the inside of me, I actually didn't hear the voice of the Lord, but there was a personal inward witness. You know what I'm talking about? I just knew just that assurance, that inward witness right in there, that pain area would not bother me anymore. I just knew it when I stood up there. I didn't have anything on my mind, you see. Well, God got the same thing done that he got done for this man over here with the gift of the word of knowledge. But I had been praying, was standing there listening to the Lord, and he gave it to me as just an inward witness. Now, that wasn't a word of knowledge. I already had that knowledge. I already knew that I was healed. I already knew and had stood on it by faith. I already certainly knew that I had been hurting. I didn't need that knowledge. I'd already acted on it and stood on it, but all of a sudden there was that assurance on the inside. Well, that's the Spirit of God, you see, witnessing to me. I didn't need somebody to minister the word of knowledge to me on that. You follow me? Now, that's good, but praise God, I just about take it any way I can get it, won't you? Praise the Lord. God ministering to me personally like that, or if it's his desire that he use someone else to do so, I'm ready. But now listen to this. If you or anybody else come up and prophesy something to me that God has been dealing with me on that I never heard of before, and actually I'm not too sure where it's in line with the Word of God or not, you're going to have a little trouble getting me to pay much attention to it. Now, I've had this happen to me where somebody would speak something to me, and it rung true to me. It rung true to me. I couldn't hear anything in there that was crosswise the Word of God, but it was something that had no bearing on anything that I was doing, and it didn't seem to have any kind of a particular message to me, and I just took it right then. I said, Lord, I'm not even going to think about that anymore, and if it comes a time when you're going to lead me in line with that, well, then bring it back up to me. But right now, I'm not even going to spend my time thinking about it much, because it doesn't have anything to do with anything you've been leading me on. It's not anything that doesn't seem to have any effect on anything particularly wrong with it. And then go on along there for as high as 6-8 months. And then God started to begin to deal with me on this. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, you remember what that man told you in that church in Houston, Texas, some months ago as you stood right down there in front? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, now this is that which he was talking about. I said, okay, tell it to me again. And he did, word for word. Amen. But now you see, I could have sat there and wondered and thought and figured and tried to figure out what that man was telling me and probably got it in worse condition than it was trying to mentally discern what God was saying to me. Rather than do that, I just rolled it over on the Lord. I know God is not going to lose his ability to speak in the next several months. So we take these things and move on them by faith. Now that is important, not only in the deliverance of these gifts, but in the receiving of them. It must be done by faith. Amen? All right. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, the gift of faith always receives something miraculous. The gift of faith is, in the faith realm, like the wisdom and the knowledge is in the revelation realm. It is a portion of God's faith added to your faith. Now see, the faith that you call your own was a gift of God. That's not something you just mustered up on your own, praise God. The Bible said, you know, in the second chapter of Ephesians, we've already studied this quite some length, 8th verse, that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 12, the 3rd verse, that God hath dealt to every man among us the measure of faith. He's dealt the measure of faith to every born-again believer, every man ever made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. That is the gift of God. But see, he gave you that faith to use. That's your faith now. He gave it to you. You're to please God with it. You use it. It's developable. This gift of faith is not necessarily developable in your life. This is God's faith. This is God using his faith in addition to you using your faith. In other words, you're doubling up with God. It's not just you. It's you and your faith and God and his faith in operation at the same time. And brother, I'll tell you what, that's something else. And that always receives something miraculous. It always receives something very powerful. Now, I've had this operate in two different levels. I'll be going into something that maybe is beyond anything that I've gone for. Something that the Spirit of God told me to do. He told me, like when he told us to go in the television ministry. Man, alive. Well, that is impossible. I didn't have money. I didn't have time. I didn't know how. I didn't know where. And didn't know when. Now, that's not knowing much. You know, when you go into something like that. And here God was telling us to do it. Well, I kept that thing before God for a long time. I was using my faith. I'd go to his word and believe it. And he was dealing with me and he'd show me certain things about the word of God. And my faith was developing on this. It wasn't looking near as hard as it had before. And I began to move in faith and began to do some things in faith, reaching down in there and getting my own faith and stretching it, you know, and pushing it out further than it ever pushed before, because I want you to know that stuff's expensive. And when you don't have any money for it, when you start in on it, well, you know, you're going to have to believe God. And then in these areas, every time Satan comes at me and says, what do you think you're going to do? You hadn't got money enough to go do that. Well, you know good and well you're going to have to take up 14 different offerings and start me to scheming, see? And I'd stop and say, no, bless God, I'm not going to get it in the natural. I'm going to do it with my faith. And I'd get myself by the ear and say, now you get yourself on your knees here, praise God, and shut up thinking like that. You know better than that. And, you know, talk to me and put me down there and make me get back in the word of God and not think that way, not think carnally, not move carnally just because I didn't know how to do it, just because I didn't know what I was doing. And the Spirit of God had been leading me and showing me different things. And that thing started looking simple. And the longer I worked at it with my own faith, the simpler it got to looking. And I got thinking, well, that looks like the easiest thing I ever saw in my life. Things started opening up to me. I gave my airplane away, according to Luke 6:38, believing God. Because, you see, my airplane was worth a certain figure, and that's all I had. So I planted that seed to get an abundance, to get me another airplane plus the abundance. And it worked, and worked less than 2 weeks. When I gave that airplane to the man God told me to call and give it to, that morning, I'm sitting there on my hotel room bed, the telephone in my hand. I just told that man he owned that airplane. Called him long distance. Jerry and I in Birmingham, Alabama. Now, Jerry had gone on back to his room. We'd been praying that morning since about 5:30 in the morning. Here it was a little after 8 o'clock. Well, no, actually about 9 o'clock. I waited another hour because Joe's in California and is earlier out there. I had already called him. I'm sitting there. I punched the button down and hung up, and I still had that phone in my hand. And I'm thinking, what are you going to do now? You really ripped it now. You know, I just sat here and give away the only thing I owned is worth anything. The only asset I had in the natural, the only physical monetary asset that I had. And not only that, you got your schedule built around that thing, and there's not any other way you can fulfill that schedule. You can't do it on the airlines, and you certainly can't do it driving an automobile. The airlines don't go where you're going, and automobiles take too long. You can't physically get from one end to the other. Now, what are you going to do now? And you still don't have what it takes to get to television ministry or obey God and do what He's told you to do. I was sitting there, and I put that telephone receiver down, and I said, I don't believe that. I'm not going to follow in after that. My God's arm not any shorter today than it was yesterday, and He gave me that airplane. I don't know why I think He couldn't do it twice. And I'm just not going to go for that, not one lick. And I no more than got that out of my mouth. And I want you to know, it seemed like to me, now every time I've experienced this on a personal basis, out in the field like this, it's always happened this way. It seemed like right here at the base of my neck. Now, I don't know what that has to do with it. Maybe nothing. But I'm just telling you the way it hit me. It seemed to me like right here at the base of my neck, there was a hole with a plug in it. And when that plug pulled out, all the doubt in me run out that hole. Now, that's just the way that seemed to me. And when all the doubt run out that hole, that God poured in something or other that sure was strong. All of a sudden, it just absolutely took over my thinking, took over my mind, my body, my spirit. I couldn't see anything but success. I couldn't see anything but the Word of God. I couldn't see any way it could fail. Stayed that way, praise God. Never had another doubtful thought about it. Now, some people have had the mistaken idea that God's going to have to do that to you before you receive anything from the Lord. And that's not so. Some people have waited on that miraculous thing to take place, and it never did take place, and they just went ahead and died of whatever was wrong with them. And turned out and said, well, we've come to the conclusion that God does it for some and does it for others. Listen, this didn't happen to me until after I'd already stretched my faith, bless God, just far as it would go. I wasn't sitting there waiting on the gift of faith. I wasn't waiting on anybody, praise God. I was going on. I had my mind made up. God's going to put me over one way or the other. Now, in that kind of an atmosphere, that operational gift of God's power can work in your life, praise the Lord. You got the door open to it. You're just sitting there not going to do anything until that takes place. You may sit there one more long time. Amen. You see, our faith is the basis to all of these operations, praise God. Now, Mr. Wigglesworth said, I stretch my faith just as far as I can stretch it, knowing that the Spirit of God's got 9 powerful gifts to make up the difference that isn't enough. Now, how does this work in ministry to others. Now you see, that didn't come just because of me. I was dealing with my ministry that God's called me to. I was dealing with ministering to millions of people through the avenue of television. I was in a role of ministry, even though it was indirect. Do you follow me? You and I, the best of God is for you and I to believe God and stand firm on His Word and take it with our own faith and receive from God. That gives God honor that no other one operation of the New Testament gives. But when you get in the area of ministering to others, is when these gifts begin to operate proficiently. Now, the first time it ever operated in me, it was quite startling. I had never experienced it in my life, this gift of faith. I was with the Oral Roberts evangelistic team when I was at Oral Roberts University. I was flying co-pilot on that airplane. We were in a meeting up in Bluefield, West Virginia. We were in a National Guard armory, an auditorium there. And at the close of the service, Brother Roberts had given an invitation for people to accept the Lord. And there must have been, there must have been 150, 200 people came up to receive Jesus. Well, a bunch of the personal workers came up there and got those people and took them back to the back end of the auditorium in a big room back there where they could minister to them, and Brother Roberts could go ahead and pray and minister to the sick. Well, I had been working in the invalid room, and I was already, he goes by there before he does anything else. So after he gets through preaching, well, I went by there, and I was through in there. That we didn't have very many in there this particular night, and had finished in there, and I came out, and I thought, now I never have been in that room back there where those people have come to receive the Lord. I think I'll go back there. Well, I wasn't back there to work. I just went back there to see what was going on, just nosing around, and I walked back there, and I was standing back over to one side and kind of leaned up against the wall over there, and I had my arms folded like that, just watching what was going on. And there was an old boy had on a black leather jacket, and he was over here on his knees, and you could tell he was there because somebody severely suggested that he be there. Now, I don't know whether it's his wife or his mama or who it was, but he just really wasn't caring too much about it. And he was on his knees, and there was a woman praying with him. And he is sitting there, and he's leaned over into a chair that he'd leaned down in front of there, kneeled down in front of him. She's over here beside him. And she was praying, had her eyes shut, had one hand on his shoulder, and had the other hand up like this, and she's praying for the man. Well, he just sitting there waiting for that ding-a-ling woman to get through, You can tell that's the attitude he had, but what is it? He just standing there looking around, looking at the ceiling, and sitting up his head, just gazing around. He wasn't able to pay any attention to her and the man in the moon. He just waited until she got through. And I was standing there looking at him. I didn't pray. I really didn't have any unction to pray.
Esau.
Nothing. I just stand there looking. And all of a sudden, what I told you a while ago about that plug come out. And that's the first time that ever happened. And it seemed like right up behind my head, God just pulled the plug on that hole and all the doubt run out of me and the power of God run in me. And all of a sudden, when that happened to me, I could hardly stand it. I wanted to get my hands on somebody and pray for them so bad, I didn't know what to do. Man, now I stay that way about 90% of the time now, but then I wasn't, and I never had prayed for many people. But boy, right then, I won't pray for somebody so bad. I just knew. I knew just because I knew what I knew, that I knew that I knew because I knew it. And there was a solid assurance on the inside of me that, bless God, anything from leprosy to a hangnail didn't have a chance against me right now. You know what I'm talking about? I was raring and ready, and I couldn't find anybody. I was there already praying. And that old boy in that black jacket was the closest one to me. And I never even thought about, you know, whether he wanted it or not, make any difference. I just was, man, you know, anything that got in my way was going to get prayed for. That's just the attitude I had right there. I reached over there and slapped my hand on his back, and I said, God save him! He threw both hands up like that, and he said, my God Almighty, forgive me! He just started crying, just loud, because just a shout. Jumped up on his feet, turned around about twice like that, and took off in a run. And he ran around the room, around like this, just going around the room, hollering, praise God, I'm saved! I'm saved! And going around, and he made the second go around the room, and I stood out in the way of him like that, and he come running at me. I stopped him right there and put my hand in his chest, and I said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he just started talking in tongues. The same run, just a going. He went twice more around the room talking in tongues. He stopped over in the back end of the room, throwed up both hands, and surrendered and preached. Wow. I just stood there and I thought, inch, bring them on. That's just the attitude I had. There's another woman standing over. I jumped up on her feet and run over there to me. She said, hey. I said, what? She said, I got in the wrong line. Said, I thought he was calling folks to get come up and wanted healing. And she said, I've been saved for 30 years. And that's over there, people over there praying me to get saved. She said, I need healing. I said, well, what's the matter with it? She pulled down her scarf and had a great big old garter on her neck. And I just reached up there and grabbed that thing and told it to get out of there, and it did. Now, that's a gift of faith. I've had the thing operate on me like that. In fact, not 100%, but now about, I would judge to say about 95, maybe 98% of the time. In these services where I'm ministering and preaching the word, that gift has remained operational practically 100% of the time in every service I've preached for the last 3 years. Now, I've had it that when I'd walk out the back door, that it wouldn't be evident anymore. And I've had Satan try to throw doubts at me and scare me over things that I had just done in the service. Well, I've learned to throw that off, you know, not paying attention. He's a liar. He had never told me the truth. Why should I believe him? And throw that off. But when I'm operating and ministering, that it's on me right now. Same way. It's operating on me right now. I don't have any more doubt in me right now than I got a pumpkin for a head. It seems like to me the most natural thing in the world to pray and believe God. Or somebody said, you mean you operate on that way all the time? I guess so, I do. Now, one man said one time, said, Brother Copeland, you know, when a fellow squares off like that, you're fixing to get it put on you. It's fixing to be some outstanding religious unbelief. Because men don't act that way. That Brother Copeland has been given the gift of ultimate faith by God. And he said, this doesn't work for everyone. He cannot fear. He has no fear. God has blessed him with it. Well, that was his excuse for not doing it, see. And I thought, man, you ought to follow me around. Not able to fear. I went into this thing scared so bad I could hardly talk. But I went into it acting on the word of God. And the Bible says, he that is perfected in the love of God, what? Perfect love casteth out fear. Now, I may appear that way to him because every time he ever sees me, I'm believing God. But it isn't something that God just slammed on me ultimate, and I just, you know, it's there and I just can't help it. That's foolishness. If I relaxed my faith, and began to operate carnally, I'd fail faster, more quickly than a man would that's always operating carnally. If I open the door just a crack, I tell you, Satan's no gentleman. You open the door, and once you've learned these things, and then you open the door to him just through laziness and unbelief and such as that, I guarantee you he'll come in like a flood. He'll rip your household open from one end to the other and make you wish to God you'd never heard of him. But I don't care where you are or where you stand or how much neglect you got into and let him in there. You can take it right then. Just say, God, forgive me. Now back me. And in the name of Jesus, slam the door shut on him, and you might catch his sorry leg in the door when you slam it. Praise God. Stick that sword in him and twist it. Now then, to another, the gifts of healings. Now in the plural text, in the Greek text, both those words are plural. Here in this, gifts is plural. So put you an S out by healing. You'll find it in the later part of the chapter. They're both plural over in the 28th verse, gifts of healings. So that is correct. They're plural. And God has a reason for saying that way. Gifts of healings. This is the power of God in operation. It is healing power. Acts 10:38 said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And with power. Now what did he say he did with that power? He went about healing those that were oppressed of the devil. That's what it says. Alright. A man can receive healing by prayer. Studying healing these evening services, I'm going to give you several of the different ways that can be received. It can be received through the name of Jesus. Can be received through prayer of the elders. Can be received through your own prayer. Can be received through the prayer of agreement. But it can be received just simply by taking the word of God. The Bible said it's in his word and it's healing. See, God's got multiple avenues and channels with which to feed the healing power of God to you. But in the gifts of healing, this is an anointing power of God to heal that is ministered to a person by another person. That anointing power is ministered to you. See, I can't heal, but I can minister to you. I can allow God to use me as a vehicle of his power. The delivery boy, the delivery of the gifts of healing. Well, there's no two human bodies alike. No two of them alike in any respect. And the gifts of healings operate in many, 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 many innumerable, astronomical different ways. Different things. I've seen God do some of the strangest things to get healing to a man. I was in a meeting in Oklahoma. Just, it wasn't too many people there, just a little place. And we were in there. I'd been talking about faith and so forth, and this man said, I went back in the room. Now listen to the gifts work. Now watch this. You've studied enough of this now and heard enough of it, you can see them flow together. The voice of the Lord came and said, now see, here's a word of knowledge. That man sitting on the back row has ulcerated stomach. Now, see, that's a word of knowledge, isn't it? I didn't have any way of knowing he got up. I still don't if I don't take that buffet. Then he said, call him to the front. Now I got some instructions. Call him to the front. Now here comes word of wisdom. When he gets down here to you, hit him in the stomach just as hard as you can. I'm going to hit him. I don't know. I ain't going to do it. You're going to have to get somebody else. I'm not going to do that. Now, see, there's word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Now, why would God tell me to hit that man in the stomach? Don't you get the idea that hitting people in the stomach is what gets rid of ulcers? Boy, you're going to get yourself in some kind of trouble. go around slapping everybody you pray for and get you in a jam. There's not any virtue in the action. But God knew what it would take to get that man's faith out of him and to get him in a position to hear from God. Now, if you want to know why it took that, you'll have to go ask God. He wouldn't tell me. I asked him. He said, that's none of your business. And it wasn't. It wasn't any of my business what was inside that man. I had no business knowing that, except just enough to get the job done. That's all I had any business knowing. And actually, if you don't want anybody to know it, God won't even let anybody know it enough to get you healed. If you're so guarded over your own affairs, you can just go on and be sick with them if you want to. God won't tattle on you. I've seen people that didn't want to receive the Holy Ghost because they're afraid they're going to talk in tongues. Somebody would interpret it and find out something ugly on them. I've actually seen that. I've seen people afraid of that. No, you needn't worry. God's not going to tell on you. And it's not any danger of God finding it out, because he's known it all along. When you confessed your sin wasn't when he found out about it. That's just when you got rid of it. So, I went ahead and I prayed for another person or two. Then the Lord said, that man, see that man on the back seat back there? He has ulcerated stomach. They didn't say. He said he's got stomach ulcers. He said, call him up here. I'm going to heal him. I was standing there listening. He said, when he gets up here, hit him in the stomach as hard as you can. I said, no, won't do it. I said, if you want that done, that man gets up here and me go beating on him like I said, he knocked me right out of my back. And I said, you know, I'm just not disciplined enough yet as a Christian to stand for that. I'd probably hit him back. And what good would that do? Just have a fight right here in front of the church. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I'm not going to do it. I said, you want somebody to do that, have to get you another boy. I'm not going to do that. I'll pray for him, but I'm not going to get him up here and hit him. So I went on about what I was doing and ministered around here and prayed around here. And the Lord said, see that man back there on the back? I said, I know that God. He got ulcers in his stomach. He said, yes, he does. And I want you to call him up here. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. He said, you want my perfect will for your life? I said, yeah. He said, then mind me. I pointed that fellow on the back seat, and I said, the Lord just spoke to me and told me to tell you to come up here, and he's going to heal you